Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes, that is right. Thank you to Will from America for the theme to the newly formed This Week in Survivor. And this is going to be a fun podcast. I think it's going to be shorter than most of the other podcasts that we do, but we're just going to have some fun here with some different things that are going on every single week, where we are going to bring in a guest. We're going to talk about everything that's happening in the world of Survivor, social media, and more. And of course, we're going to play the This Week in Survivor History quiz with this man, the host of This Week in Survivor History, Jordan Kalish, is here. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing great. And Will from America, great job on the song. I mean, you've already put your stamp on This Week in Survivor History with potentially one of the most fun episodes we've ever had. And now the song, it's beautiful. Very, 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 makes you want to dance. So it's a good way to start the season here.
That's what I was thinking too. Can't wait to start dancing to the This Week in Survivor theme song. And Jordan, how has your off season been?
My off season's been pretty solid. I went on a trip to Israel, and that was a lot of fun. I got to listen to a bunch of podcasts on the plane, which was nice. I also met two Survivor fans on my trip, one who is from Israel. So people really watching the show all around the world. And coach basketball now in the middle of my basketball and my baseball coaching season, which starts in a few weeks. So pretty much all up to the same stuff, but I had a fun off season.
All right. Nice to have you back. We'll get into the quiz in a little while in this show, but let's bring in our guest today. He is a longtime Rob Has a Podcast contributor. You can see him often in the Big Brother season on the daily morning updates and then in the podcasts as well. He also is the creator of the Survivor 321 blog here on robhasawebsite.com. Please welcome in the great Matt Ligori is here. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Very excited that you guys invited me here to kick off a brand new season of Twitch. Nothing like the beginning of a new Survivor season where everybody's excited, and very happy to be here.
Okay. Matt, here we are back in the Survivor season proper. Edge of Extinction is here. Were you pumped up with the Edge of Extinction premiere?
I was. I mean, I think a lot of people might have been concerned about it going into it or whatever it you may have been feeling. I thought it was the best we could have gotten for an hour premiere, especially when you have four returnees in the mix. You know that they're going to take up some of the screen time, but I'm doing my best to stay, as optimistic as possible. They did a great job with David versus Goliath. They didn't give me any reason to doubt them after that season. So, they deserve an open mind going into this one. And then I thought, the final few minutes of the episode or the final few seconds of seeing the voted out contestant Reem show up on Extinction Island. I think it looks like it could be a little bit of fun over there. I think we're going to see some contestants literally pushed to their breaking point, and that is one of the most compelling parts of the show.
Matt, do you have one of the returnees in particular that is your horse, that is your person that you are going to be backing the whole way through?
Absolutely. I have been a vocal Kelly Wentworth supporter since all the way back in San Juan del Sur. Was very excited when she got her second chance just a couple years ago on out there in Cambodia. So very excited to see her back here. Really hope that she'll do well. I'm nervous after seeing, it seems like everybody else knows how big of a threat she is as well, but I'm just excited to have her back on the show.
Okay, as an unapologetic Kelly Wentworth fan, did you feel like that there was any sort of a shift in how she was being portrayed? Because I saw a lot of that in the, social media and Reddit and discussion this week.
I definitely see where, you know, that's coming from, especially when you get into the tribal council and you have Kelly versus Reem, a little bit of a battle going on there. You know, the second that Reem starts talking, Kelly's kind of rolling her eyes like, ugh, like, of course, you know, she's talking like this, bringing these points up that have nothing to do with why we're voting her out. So, you know, once you roll your eyes at tribal council, it's hard to not, you know, have a little bit of a villain vibe to your edit, I guess, or I don't know. I see where people are coming from. I don't know if that's going to be her story of the season. I feel like she's, you know, coming in saying how she wants to work on her connections with people. So I don't know if that's going to translate to being mean to people or being a villain. I don't know. But, you know, I'm currently watching Heroes versus Villains, you know, and a couple of the people on the villains tribe of that season weren't necessarily villains, even though they were labeled villains. So I feel like even if she does get the villain title, she might not necessarily deserve it. It just might be where the cards fall.
I think it was a lot of jumping to conclusions after one episode. I went back and I watched it again. I didn't see anything that was that villainous where, you know, that she's taken some sort of a heel turn in her Survivor career.
Yeah, I mean, I think she was being targeted too by Reem, so it's sort of understandable. And when you're coming in as a returner in a season with all newbies, you're going to sort of come in with this vibe about you that you're no longer the underdog. So I think it's sort of, you know, it's sort of hard for her to be Kelly Wentworth, who came into Second Chances and was maybe able to fly under the radar at the beginning because she came in as a pre-merger, and there were a lot of characters who were bigger characters in their first season. But I would say villainous is going a little bit too far.
Yeah, we have a long season ahead of us. You know, hopefully, at least as somebody rooting for her, I'm hoping that she sticks around for a while. And, you know, as we saw in the first episode, she's formed some connections. She has allies by her side. I don't know if this is trending in the villain direction, but, you know, it's just like the whole purple thing. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's purple after one episode, you know, and here we have a villain after one episode. I think we can take some time before we start assigning all these labels.
Okay, now the reason that we ended up coming up with the idea for this week in Survivor was, of course, there was the decision that was made that Survivor is not going to have exit interviews this season because of the Edge of Extinction twist, where players are going to be kept there for an unknown amount of time, which is going to not allow people to come out of the game every single week. So there are going to be no official CBS exit interviews for the rest of the season. So that's where we came up with the idea of doing a podcast where we can still play This Week in Survivor History and talk about some of the other things that are going on every single week during Survivor. But I know that this is going to be a surprise to some, but I was able to pull some strings. Wow. And I can't promise that we're going to be able to do this every single week, but I was able to convince the powers that be to get us an exit interview with Reem Daly.
Wow.
Who is going to join us now live. So if you guys don't mind for a moment, I'm going to patch in Reem, who is there. Good morning, Reem. How are you? I'm very sorry that you were the first player voted out of Survivor.
It's fine. You know what, dude? It's fine.
Now, Reem, I really appreciate you coming on here with us. I know that this is not a pleasant thing to talk about, and we have some difficult things that we need to talk about here today.
I'm here for you, but I'm going to tell you to tighten up if you get a little too soft on me, all right?
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. So, Reem, how are you holding up after being the first player that was voted out from Survivor Edge of Extinction?
I don't know. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. This is like freaking nightmare to be the first one voted off, you know, because I've been watching since day one. Like, this is terrible. I'm so disappointed.
It seemed like that it was a tense environment at that first tribal council. Have you talked with any of your tribe mates since we saw the episode the other night?
I don't want to see any of them, dude. I don't want to see them. They don't want to see me. I don't want to see them.
Well, Reem, it looked like that you guys had a lot of food to start off the game. How did you hold up during your 3 days on the beach of the Manu tribe?
I didn't eat sugar. I hardly had any carbs. I don't even think I hardly ate. And I lost like 2 pounds. So when I stepped on that scale and that's what I saw, I was pissed. So since then, I've done everything I could to eat as much as possible and not get injured.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, you don't want to get injured at any point. I want to ask you about the actual vote that we saw in the episode, Reem. Do you feel like that you were targeted because that you were seen as a mom figure in this group?
How old do you think I am?
I mean, I think you are 46, right?
Screw you, dude. Just because I didn't go, like, powerless before I showed up. Like, they're idiots. I am so strong. You don't even know this old lady, bro. This old lady can kill it.
I don't mean to offend. I'm very sorry.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. I just want to get back on track, Reem.
Whatever. I'm just, in general, annoyed.
Reem, I'm sorry. I don't know what I've said that has offended you in this interview.
Forget it. You're too late. You're already like, you came at me like, you know what you did, Rob. As Lauren said to Heidi on the hills, you know what you did.
Okay, I think we lost Reem. Okay.
Oh, Rob, I wanted to ask her who the first survivor she followed on Twitter was.
Yeah, okay. Well, if we can get her back, maybe after the season. So there you have it, everybody. Got to hear from Reem Daly, Matt, that these exit interviews can be very hit or miss.
Yeah, she really likes to get people in that trap of asking how old she is. And I feel like that's never going to go well for anybody.
No. It's a tough spot to get put in. Reem, of course, was the first player voted out of the season. Matt, what will you remember about Reem when years from now, when we're looking back at this week in Survivor?
What will I remember?
Yes.
She was a lot of fun, and I'm hoping, you know, now that we have this Extinction Island, this obviously isn't the last of her. She brought a really great attitude to the game that, you know, that's the kind of thing that once the game kicks into like the next level, like somewhere around the merge, you want that kind of player in there because she's not afraid to say what's on her mind. And I really think that we're missing out by having her out this early, but I don't know, people just don't like when you mess with their clothes. So it wasn't meant to be here.
Yeah. I feel like in some ways she's kind of a throwback, Reem, to like a character that we would have seen like in the first 10 seasons of Survivor. Jordan, what do you think of that?
I think that's a good point. I mean, you have somebody out there who's like not afraid to speak her mind. I think you have so many of these new school players who are probably thinking to themselves the whole time, I have to hold back. I can't really show my full personality because it might get me voted out. But clearly Reem didn't care. And while it did cause her to be voted out of the game, it made for much better TV than a lot of these forgettable early boots. So I'm really happy we had Reem on the show. I hope she sticks around for a while on The Edge of Extinction. I mean, I'd be shocked if she's the one who gets back in the game. Just, you know, being there, essentially she'd have to be there for the whole season, or she'd have to, I mean, I don't know when people are re-entering, but I think for as long as we have her, she's going to be fun TV.
Yeah. Matt, I really feel like that's like a classic character staple on Survivor, like the older woman who does not give an F.
Yeah, and I feel like maybe in a way, I thought we'd been kind of getting away from having that person be the first boot. I mean, Katrina was, you know, a mom that got voted out kind of early.
But she
recently,
was so nice. This was like the opposite.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, like the Trish Haggerty, like these players haven't been getting voted out early. If anything, we've been talking more about maybe they get to the end and don't win necessarily. But I really did not expect a first boot out of Reem, especially when, I mean, going back to my blog last week, I had Wendy and Keith both at the bottom too spot. And I really, you know, all three of them seemed like they were options this week. So I was very surprised, especially, you know, Reem was talking about she is strong. I didn't think she was the weakest link on this tribe, and very surprised to see her have gone.
Okay. Matt, can you tell us how the Survivor 321 blog works?
Yes. So it started off, used to be a power rankings blog. Rob as a website did not have any of those at the time, and I thought it would have been a little bit of fun to add that in. Over time, it just kind of felt like we were talking a little bit too much about people who weren't really doing a lot in the game. You know, I'm sitting there writing descriptions for like a Ghost Island Jenna, and I'm like, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. So you kind of gotta highlight the important players. So that's where I just decided that I was going to cut it down a little bit. And so now the blog is every week I get to the blog. I write down my top three players of the week, my bottom two players of the week, and then one player that is somebody that we should just kind of keep an eye on. So it could be somebody that just kind of falls short of the top three, or somebody who is just a total wild card going into the next week, somebody in a swing spot that you just really need to pay attention to. And I think it's a lot of fun. A lot of people like to tell me their differences of opinion when they see it, because, you know, how is this person not in your top three? How is this person whatever? So it's been a lot of fun.
Who is your one person to watch for the new week coming up in the rankings that are about to be published on robiswebsite.com?
Yes, hopefully very soon after you guys are hearing this or whatever, the blog will be up. But this week's one to watch is Ron Clark, Mr. Advantage Finder. He's got only 3 weeks to play this advantage, and I didn't necessarily feel like finding the advantage was enough to put him in a top three spot. But it will be very important going into these next two episodes to see what happens with this menu that he was given of advantages.
So it doesn't have anything to do with him dancing with Aubrey in the preview?
It does not. I did see that. It looks like they're having a great time next week. But I guess that technically just makes it even more of a reason to watch him next week.
Do you account for the previews in these rankings, Matt?
Sometimes you have a really hard time not doing that. The majority of it is, focused on what happened in the past week. But it's so hard to not touch upon what you see for next week. Because, for example, somebody like Kelly, she had a good week. Her alliance stuck by her. But when you see the preview for next week and it's like people are talking about, should we turn on Kelly? It's like, maybe she wasn't. Maybe I can't be too confident going into the next week about her. But for the majority, it is about what happened in the previous episode.
Matt, how is Wentworth Nation dealing with the idea from the preview that maybe David could turn against Kelly?
I don't know. I don't want to speak for all the Wentworth fans out there. I know there are many, but I would say I'm not too nervous. I feel like more so because I know that David Wright is a smart guy, and I know that he probably would not find a world where he's comfortable with Kelly going out this early. I feel like he knows you got to keep the other attorney around for as long as he can, at least until, get to a swap or something. She cannot go out here for David's game to be moving in a good direction. He needs her by his side.
Okay. All right. So we're going to take a look at some of the stuff going on in the world of social media here on This Week in Survivor. Of course, if you see social media news happening in the Survivor world, want to make sure that we don't miss it. Of course, you can email the show survivor@robhasawebsite.com. And so to kick off our social media segment here on This Week in Survivor history, let's throw it to one of our listeners, Jacob Sager Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets. Survivor tweets. They're better than an island where you go in defeat. Tweets.
Yeah, okay. It's a low bar, but yeah, it is better. There we go. Okay, so Jeff Probst actually created a bit of a stir this week when he came to Twitter amid many people saying, hey, Survivor premiere, too short. Jeff Probst asked Survivor's fans on Twitter, I hear you're wanting a longer premiere. Is that a shared desire? For example, if we had occasional 2-hour episodes, would you watch? Or is 2 hours too long and too late for kids? Let me know. We listen. And boy, did people weigh in. Matt, how do you feel about this idea? Should there be more 2-hour episodes during the Survivor season?
I got to say, as much as I know that myself, that all of us would love the 2-hour episodes, in terms of like the longevity of the show and keeping all the casuals who are tuning in each week watching, I got to say it's not great for there to be too many. I was talking to my mom before the episode. The first thing that she was asking is she thought it was a 2-hour premiere. And, that's not a great thing for casuals that kind of just want to watch their episode and go to the next show that they have in their night, but they still want to watch Survivor. So I feel like as much as, we want all of this, maybe the answer is just some more bonus content on CBS's website, on the YouTube page, whatever it is. You know, let's get our 2 hour premiere. Let's get our 2 hour. I mean, a 2 hour merge episode would be great. And then obviously the finale. I don't think we should be overdoing it though, with like every week being 90 minutes or 2 hours. I feel like that's going to scare a lot of people away.
Now, Jordan, you had said that you want there to be 3 hour episodes, right?
I don't remember ever saying that. I mean, I personally would watch, but as Matt was saying, it could potentially scare away the casuals. I know that I am personally a very, very casual viewer of The Bachelor, and the fact that it's 2 hours every week is a bit too much. I end up fast-forwarding through a lot of what looks to be the boring parts.
What do you mean a bit too much?
It's just it's a lot of the same thing. It just feels very repetitive. But I'm sure Bachelor super fans who are maybe Survivor casuals would say the same thing about Survivor. But for a premiere, I mean, I do like when you have an hour and a half premiere with one tribal council where you feel like you get to know everybody. Maybe if you had an episode like the merge episode where there's a lot of moving pieces and you might want to get a better sense of the strategy, it would be nice if that was an hour and a half or 2 hours. But 2 hours every week might be a little bit too much for the casuals. For me personally, I would love it. I mean, if Survivor were 3 hours every week, I would watch. I think most of the people listening to this podcast would probably watch. But for the sake of the show's success, it's probably not the greatest idea. Personally, I would eat it up.
Yeah, it would be nice if when they had stuff that they could do, you know, 90 minutes or 2 hours, that they could, you know, basically like pull that lever a couple times a season and say to the network, like, hey, no, this episode, it like we can fill 90 minutes and not just be 90 minutes or 2 hours for the sake of being that every single week. And Matt, as you touched on with the CBS All Access, you know, they create so much original content for CBS All Access. You know, it would be cool if that you could get like, you know, a rougher cut of the episode where, you know, I think that they probably start off with a cut that is longer than 42 minutes. And then if they could just, you know, keep that version up on CBS All Access, if you wanted to watch like the, what is the 65 minute episode version look like, as opposed to just like the, you know, TV version.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're always looking for reasons to promote CBS All Access as much as they can. So it would make all the sense in the world to have more bonus content on there. I think, you know, every week we tend to get maybe like one or two secret scenes, you know, put up there. But I feel like the more you can give, the more reason that you can give people to be on there, to be looking things up. Like, that's what we want. We want to see more. We want to see as much as possible. And it's the kind of thing where if you put it on the website, the casuals don't have to worry about it because they're not going to be going there anyway. We will go there. We will see everything that we want to see. And, you know, it would be a great move if they decided to go that way ever.
The survivors themselves were weighing in. Sandra Diaz-Twine said, we absolutely need 2 hours every episode. Nick Wilson said, every episode should be at least 90 minutes. We want to know the whole cast, so I'll definitely take an occasional 2 hour episode. Lirsa said, longer premieres, but I think an extra episode can be good too. Like things that happen at camp, because sometimes we are lost on why X or Y is a threat, and it's because of whatever is left out. Natalie Cole said, WTH, of course we are in. Adam Klein says, longer episodes, more Survivor. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I could not find many alumni that did not respond to that tweet. There was a lot of responses over there, like almost 5 or 6,000.
Yeah, but these are people like us though that are in love with the show. And I would be so happy if they started doing this, but if, you know, maybe if the casuals stopped watching, if it were too long, is it worth maybe losing some seasons in the back end of Survivor to have longer episodes? I don't think it is, but who knows? Maybe it would work out. Maybe the casuals would become a little bit more invested in the show. But I mean, again, an hour and a half isn't too bad. I think if it's 2 hours every single week, that might start to get a bit too much for people.
I came very close over the weekend that I was about to type out a tweet which read, question, I hear you on wanting longer podcasts. Is that a shared desire? For example, if we had the occasional 2 hour episodes, would you listen? Or is 2 hours too long? Too late for the kids? Let me know. We listen. And I'm like, I don't want to be too much of a troll here.
Yeah, I mean, the people have been asking for a 2 hour Twitch for a very long time, and that's why we actually started doing this this podcast in a longer format. So, you know, we listen, so it might work for Survivor as well.
Yes, it also works for the people that said, hey, I want to hear the exit interview, but I don't want to download Twitch. Can you help me with this issue?
Yeah, well, we don't like to talk about those people.
Yeah, okay.
It's also known as the Survivor Sucks community.
Aubrey Bracco says, one of my favorite parts of the Survivor ride is that the actual experience happens without phones, and everything after happens with. The vibe is truly mind-bending when you meet people so viscerally in the flesh, and then essentially meet them backwards in digital reality. This is something that I think about from time to time in terms of like when I played Survivor, you know, it wasn't like that you had your phone and you were attached to it all the time. Like, I really wonder, like, what kind of a detox do you think that is like? I guess that the players are in sequester for a couple days, so they're already going through that. But Matt, do you think that that's something that also sort of like messes with people in the first couple days of Survivor, being away from their devices?
I mean, I know it would mess with me like crazy. We're so addicted to our phones that, you know, Apple added this new screen time feature, mm-hmm. and it's like I can't even look at it because it makes me so sick.
So you're doing good with the screen time then? That's one less thing to look at.
I wouldn't say I'm doing good with it. I'd say that it's just making me feel worse about myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely it's a little crazy to imagine just going like, you know, cold turkey with the phone and not having to deal with it at all. But then again, I just watched an entire season of Celebrity Big Brother where they get to be on an iPad all day. So maybe one day they'll get a phone out there too on the island.
Yes, that when Shane Powers comes back, that he can find like a big flat rock to turn into.
They have the Jeff phone.
Yeah. I wonder if it's going to have some sort of a effect of people that have like a better social game, if it means more now than, you know, because we're used to so much like texting and being on phones and communicating with people that way. You know, if there's been any sort of like the skill set for Survivors a little bit different.
Yeah, when they do millennials versus Gen Z, the Gen Z tribe is going to have a really, really hard time trying to figure this out.
Okay. Julia Carter had a bunch of tweets about the premiere where she listed off some behind-the-scenes facts that happened during the filming of the premiere, including this one where she tweets, at Mr. Ron Clark _ was originally behind me on the boat for the marooning. He thought his hand was leaning on the banister, but it was actually on my butt. Hilarious introduction. Oh,
does this count as Julia's confessional for the episode?
No, careful.
I cannot imagine how this didn't make the cut.
Yeah, careful there. Okay.
He was reaching down. He said he found an advantage, but I think he was reaching somewhere else.
Yeah, I felt bad. Julia hosted this big Survivor viewing party in Jersey
City. Did you go to it?
I did not. It was pretty bad weather. I didn't feel like driving into Jersey, but I was going to go. I know a lot of RHAP people were there. But I was thinking about this during the episode. Like, she was barely in it, and she's having this big party with a lot of people. I hope she's someone, because she seemed like a lot of fun in her preseason press. I'm hoping we start to see more of her going forward. But like you guys were saying on the know-it-alls, we shouldn't get too in the weeds on this on the purple edit, because, you know, Bradley was, I think, didn't get a confessional in Ghost Island, and he ended up being one of the bigger pre-merge characters. So who knows what's going to happen going forward? But I hope the next time she has a viewing party, at least she's in more of the episode.
Yeah.
I get those 2-hour episodes in.
That's why we need 2-hour episodes.
Yeah.
And then she also said in another one of these fun facts, she says that she learned where her comma fam preferred to go to the bathroom when she stepped in it barefoot.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I don't know.
What happened to the aqua dumps? We don't do that anymore?
Well, are we assuming this is a number two situation? Is it possible it's a number one situation?
Well, how would you know if it were a number one situation? Number two situation, you could tell, but if someone's just peeing in the sand, it just might be water. You don't know for sure.
I'm not sure. I guess that'll be a question one day for a Julia Carter interview deep dive down the road. Okay. The War Dog. War Dog's very active on Twitter, Matt. You know, that we talk about these Tony types on the show, but I think that the biggest comparison is these, like, Tony, Joe Mena, the War Dog. They are OTT on social media.
Yeah, I wouldn't have seen this coming at all. I mean, it's fun when they interact, as long as they're not giving away, you know, too much information. Obviously, some people are hesitant to follow the survivors at all during the season. You know, you read too much into this or that or whatever. But he's got a lot to say, and you know, he knows exactly where to say it, right on Twitter every week.
I need Angie Kontz to develop a podcast for me about the social media character types.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
Worth looking into. Yeah.
So I will say he seemed a lot more even keeled in this episode than I thought he was going to be coming in. And you know, you were talking to Nicole before the season, and you were talking about the town Ossining, New York, which is where he's from. I actually lived in Ossining for I believe 3.5 years. So it's my mom is still there, and it's a nice little town. And I was looking forward to having a local survivor there, but unfortunately, he's now in California.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
they make him crazy in Ossining, as you can tell from me and the War Dog. Decent the War Dog. That sounds like a radio show.
All right, the War Dog. He tweeted. As a huge Mets fan, it feels amazing to be aligned with the captain, number 5 himself, at Real Dave Wright.
Ding. Yeah, but that means David Wright's going to get medevac, though.
Easy there, Deese. Easy. Leave the captain's name out of your mouth, okay?
Okay, there's only one captain I care about, and he's number 2. And
like, yeah, just like what Julius stepped in. That's right. Okay. Debbie Wanner tweeted, there's a lot to be said about redemption, another chance, absolvement. As for me, I am liking hashtag survivor, hashtag edge of extinction. Is that positive, Matt? Is she saying she likes Edge of Extinction Island?
Yeah, I've never heard Debbie say a bad word about anything or anybody, so this has to be positive. She would never get too angry about anything like this, a twist, or mm-hmm. She's enjoying it.
Okay. Our own Stephen Fishback tweeted out, clarification on something we discussed on the hashtag Survivor Know-It-Alls. A close read of the advantage menu shows that the menu itself functions as the idle extra vote / reward steal. So the menu having no power after the third vote means he can't choose an advantage and hold it. This has been something that we've talked about on a lot of the podcasts in the early going. Matt, is that our answer? That he found the thing and the paper is it, and he can use it in any way he sees fit through the third episode?
Yeah. I think that sounds right. I like the idea that they're going to go through with this. You know, like you said, we've been talking about this for a while, that having some kind of limitation for how long you can hold on to an advantage is good. And I mean, I never expected that somebody would get an entire menu with options of what they can do with it. But it's definitely worth trying, as long as it does get used and doesn't just, you know, his tribe ends up winning the next 2 weeks in a row and it's useless.
I don't like that the actual menu can be used as the advantage. I think you it's a menu. I think you order something and then they like bring it to you on a boat. That's how a menu works.
For delivery?
Yeah, they should deliver it. Like, or Jeff should come to camp and give it to him.
Okay,
wait, who's he ordering it from? Jeff? Like, how does he find 5 minutes to talk to Jeff and place his order?
He circles it. He puts it in the tree mailbox, and then it gets delivered to camp.
So, do you want some sort of an app like a Postmates that he can just like go on? Like, there's like a phone in like by tree mail, and then
that solves the issue of contestants having to detox from their phones.
Yeah. That's good.
Yes, the Jeff phone is upgraded to the Jeff X, and he's found the Jeff X, and he's going to be placing his order on the mobile app.
Okay. Natalie Anderson is tweeting about the show this season. She says, Reem is legit stronger than half the guys on the tribe and can swim, but sure, yeah, she's the weakest player. Are we sure that Nadia didn't take over Natalie's Twitter that night?
I think Nadia's a little busy. She just said a child. I think Natalie is probably the one that's still definitely spending all of her time in the gym. She knows a strong person when she sees one.
I didn't even notice. So she's Aunt Natalie.
Yes.
Yeah. She also said, I'd rather be on that haunted beach than with some of those tribe members, to be honest. Uh-oh. Hashtag give me Extinction Island.
All I know is I'm glad to hear that Natalie Anderson is still watching Survivor, and you know, let's get her back out there as soon as we can.
Okay. Matt, you asked me for some Alexis Maxwell tweets this week.
Is that what happened?
Well, look, here's what you said. Alexis Maxwell tweeted, and she said, wouldn't it be funny if the vote outs had to strip down and then they were on Naked and Afraid?
I didn't know that show was even... I don't mean to ask, is that show still on? But I did not know that show was still on.
What are you, such a Naked and Afraid casual?
I guess so. But Alexis Maxwell, not a Naked and Afraid casual.
Do you think that, yeah. Do you think that there's a Naked and Afraid super fan community?
I think they're probably, there's a super fan community for everything. I'm sure there's a Reddit that exists. They're probably all big Michael Jefferson fans. So yeah, I think it does exist.
Do you think that there's some podcast where they play This Week in Naked and Afraid history?
That's going a little bit too far.
Okay. All right. Then let's see. Any other tweets we're talking about? T-Bird, she was at a watch party. She got to see Rick Devins. And then there was a whole conversation, a whole thread about how Stephen Fishback had to stand up for that Reem was being considered the old lady at 46. Well, how old was Sandy Bergen when Stephen called her older lady?
Good question. Is this the first question?
I don't know. Sandy Bergen, right? He was like, I used to have sound club. He said, older lady? Because they had to vote somebody right out of the game.
Sandy Bergen, according to Wikipedia, was 53.
Okay. All right. So a little bit older. Okay. T-Bird was very impressed with Steven and his take. And she said, Steven, have I told you today I love you? Well, I love you. Okay.
It's great to have T-Bird and Reem both on the podcast today.
Okay. All right. Jordan, are you ready for this week in Survivor history where I'm going to take on Matt and we'll talk about another new twist which could change the game on this week in Survivor history. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at Scentbird because, Matt, have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, you smell amazing. What cologne are you wearing?
That has not happened, but if I take you up on this offer, then
it's going to start happening when you pick out the right cologne, and that's where Scentbird, not T-Bird, Scentbird is going to come in, because Scentbird is going to allow you to try out different colognes or perfumes every single month so you can find the one that you like the best, because Scentbird is a luxury fragrance subscription service. You can mix up your cologne or perfume routine. It's a way for you to discover new colognes or perfumes without having to buy the whole expensive bottle. Scentbird has more than 450 designer brands for you to choose from, a cologne or perfume each month. You try the brands that you want. It's the real deal. Gucci, Tom Ford, Kenneth Cole, Burberry, Prada, and more. Choose the cologne that you want. They send you a 30-day supply. That's 120 sprays, unless you put a ton on like Jordan Kalish does. Enough to apply more than 4 times daily a month. Not sure what type of scent you're looking for? Sort colognes by brand, occasion, season, style, and more. Check out user ratings even on any fragrance, or take Scentbird's True Scent Quiz to discover more personalized recommendations. And as an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you get 50% off your first month. That's $7.50 for your first fragrance. Go to scentbird.com/Rob. Use the promo code Rob to get 50% off your first month. Again, that's Scentbird, scentbird.com/Rob, for you to try your first cologne perfume for just $7.50. Sign on and smell amazing. And so with that, let's get ready for the inaugural 2019 version of Twish.
Yes.
Twish.
Yes. Okay. All right. Matt, are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be. I feel like Jordan's going to hit us with some surprises that I never could have seen coming, but let's do it.
Okay. Jordan, can I tell Matt about the game-changing twist to Twish this season?
Changing the way the game is played. Rob, you could explain it. We had a long meeting about this the other night, I think it's going to be revolutionary.
Yes.
I need a pen and paper to write this down?
No. It was in the wee hours of the morning that Jordan and I were racking our brains of what could we do to tip the scales more in favor of the guest? Because, frankly, I'm just dominating too much, getting too many wins.
I think the guest had a winning record last season.
Too many wins, and people are intimidated to come on and play. So,
Robert, are you tired of winning?
we're tired of winning so much. And so I said, what we need to do, and this sort of came up with Kellen last season, was we need to incorporate a lifeline, but it's clunky to call somebody, and like a 50-50 is too much, but we are going to allow you to any question that you want before we get to the bonus round, Matt, you will have a lifeline. And that lifeline is you can ask the question to any internet-enabled assistant device that you have, be it on, and I'm not going to say the names because I don't want to set off everybody's devices, but you can ask your iPhone, ask your Amazon devices, ask your Google devices, any voice-enabled assistant that you have. You have a lifeline. You can ask them the question, and they can help you.
Okay. My personal Siri Fields will be of assistance.
Just hold it close to the microphone so we can hear what it says.
Okay. I think mine's in an Australian accent, so I hope I get to use it.
Okay. Oh. That's fine. Okay. Jordan, real quick at the top of the season, do you want to explain the rules of Twitch for our new listeners?
I don't want to, but I will. So the rules of Twitch, there are four multiple choice questions. Each one of you is going to get to answer two of these questions. You can choose not to hear the multiple choice options, and if you're correct, you will get 2 points. If you go for two and you are incorrect, your opponent will get to steal a point. If you want, you can hear the multiple choice options. You'll only get 1 point if you're correct. And in that case, your opponent can't steal even if you are wrong. And then we will go to a final round. I'll explain the rules of the final round once we get there, but you'll both be able to gain points in that last part that we call the deathmatch. So, Matt, let me give you the four categories. We have stuck in the middle with
Kucha. Hold on, Matt, did you get all of the rules?
I think so. I think I got this.
Yes.
And okay, so we have. Oh, and by the way, with the new advantage, with the Siri Fields advantage, do you get to use that after you've heard the multiple choice, or does it have to be before?
No, he could do it after the multiple choice.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, it's, either way, we'll see how helpful it's going to be. So yeah, we have our categories here: stuck in the middle with Kucha, the unbathable Kimmy Cap, for COD's sake, and the Amazon Mixer.
And I will say that the one thing that we were able to do this season with This Week in Survivor History, that little inside Schmergen brawl, that in the past that we had to record This Week in Survivor History sometimes before we'd even seen the episode. So we are able to include and discuss the most recent episode of the show, where in the past we would record This Week in Survivor History and we wouldn't even know who the person was going to be that was on the exit interview. So that we are able to record this a little bit more knowing the news of the week.
Right. Yes, so I can call up Reem if I need some help.
That's right.
If she's a person available to talk
yes,
right now.
If you want, you can call her up and maybe she will be of some help.
Screw you, dude.
Okay, sorry.
All right, she's not interested in helping, I guess. Whatever.
Are you?
Hmm. All right, so I have this little menu in front of me of options. I think I'm going to go with the Kimmy Kappenberg related one in honor of her appearance on the podcast this week.
Okay, the unbathable Kimmy Cap. We're going to the Australian Outback. The episode is called The Gloves Come Off from February 22nd, 2001, 18 years ago last Friday. I mean, technically, this is last week in Survivor history, but it's the first week. It was close enough. It was Friday. So with Kimmy Kappenberg on the podcast, I feel like I had to use the episode in which she was voted out. So who argues with Kimmy and complains multiple times during the episode about her lack of bathing?
Oof.
How many?
I hate to break out the options this early on, but I might. Because that's obviously so long ago this season, and I have not rewatched it in a while. Yeah, break out the options.
Okay, so your multiple choice, you have A, Varner, B, Scoopin, C, Alicia, D, Nick Brown, and you can choose to ask Cerie Fields or whoever you would like to ask on this question.
Something tells me a Google search is not going to help me with Kimmy Kappenberg's bathing issues from Survivor Australian Outback. My best guess on this is going to be Mike Scoopin.
Mike Scoopin. So as we know famously from this episode, Kimmy had a lot of issues with Alicia here, and she ends up getting voted out partially because of her fights with Alicia. But yes, it was Scoopin who had this particular argument with her. Really, a lot. Most of Scoopin's confessionals during this episode were regarding Kimmy's potential lack of hygiene, and you could see it. But then they finally do win shampoo at some point and soap during this episode, so she's able to fix that, but she still gets voted out. Matt, you get 1 point. You have a 1-0 lead over Rob, and Rob, the three
Wait, hold
categories...
I have a Scoopin' sound clip I want to play.
No pumpkin, no.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, Kimmy. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think we got rid of all the Scoopin' sound.
Okay, yes. We'll go with that. So I will say, gotta go with the Amazon mixer.
Okay, so this is from Survivor, the Amazon Girl Power from February 27th, 2003, 16 years ago Wednesday. Rob, this is a season that you were on. In the Amazon Mixer Reward Challenge, who clinched the win for Jabiru when she mashed her shampoo with the great Dave Johnson's Bangarang?
Boy, I actually am not sure about this.
Yeah, I felt like this was hard enough that even if you got this question, it wouldn't be that much of an advantage.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I could say, let me hear the choices.
Okay, so we have A, Heidi, B, Shauna, C, Dina, D, Jean.
I'm going to say Shauna.
Shauna. So a lot of especially Dan Liu was very into Shauna during this challenge, but it was actually Jean who maybe not as memorable as some of the other Jabiru contestants during the channel, but yeah, Jean clinched it. Jean got the winning match. So Rob, you get 0 points on the Amazon question.
Well, that's okay. Embarrassing.
I've never felt more one with Paul Osleson.
Oh. Yes. But Gene, this is who you wanted to align with before the game started, right?
I wanted to align with somebody who, you know, that Reem was a victim of being the older woman mom on the tribe, but that was who I wanted to align with.
Yeah. So I would have loved to see you on Survivor with Reem.
Did you know how to swim before you went on Survivor?
I am not a great swimmer, but I do know how to swim.
All right, so you wouldn't have needed her swimming lessons, I guess?
I think I'm okay without swim lessons. Again, I'm not a great swimmer, but I will not die if you throw me in the water.
Fair enough.
I was just happy I was able to get Jean Herbert and Dave Johnson in a question together.
You did it.
A lot of fun.
You did it. Okay. Yes. All right.
All right, so we have Matt
has the early lead.
For COD's sake and stuck in the middle with Kucha.
I have no idea what for COD's sake could even be, so... Let's go with that. I always like to pick the mystery flavor Airhead when I used to eat those all the time.
All right. I got to risk it to get the biscuit, as they say. So we're going to go to Survivor Exile Island. The episode is actually called For COD's Sake, which is probably one of my favorite episode titles in Survivor history. From March 2nd, 2006, 13 years ago this Saturday. And it's actually the challenge that is also called For COD's Sake. So in one of the few challenges in Survivor history involving beheading, contestants had to chop the heads off large fish in order to win reward. Bob Dog was an absolute beast in this challenge and led the Kasaya tribe to victory. Before Bob Dog took over, who majorly struggled as Kasaya's fish head chopper?
Yeah, this is not going to come up on my Cerie Fields, is it?
Could be Cerie Fields.
I guess so.
Yeah, I think this advantage might end up being the medallion of power of this week in Survivor history.
Okay.
Yeah, really not sure if I'm going to get a good Google result for who.
I mean,
the
last time you could use it, you might as well use it.
Yeah, I guess so. So can you repeat the question one more time so I know what to ask?
Yes. So in one of the few challenges in Survivor history involving beheading, contestants had to chop heads off large fish in order to win reward. Bob Dog was a beast in this challenge and led Kasaya to victory. Before Bob Dog took over, who majorly struggled as Kasaya's fish head chopper?
All right. Do I really want a search result about head chopping off in my own history? I'm not sure.
List.
I mean, guess I'll go for it. I am here for the win. All right, let's try this out.
And this is Cerise's season, so you, she might actually know.
I don't even know what to, I don't even know what to ask. Let's try this. Siri, who was on the Kasaya tribe in Survivor Panama?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's not helpful.
Wait, Shining Gates is
here.
All right, I might have to go off off the multiple choice options for this one.
All right, so you're going to get the multiple choice?
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right, so you have A, Aris, B, Bruce, C, Shane, D, Danielle.
The captain of sports been chopping heads off of fish. Let's go with Bruce.
Bruce, can a guy get another point? Yes, he can. Matt, you get one more point. You have a 2-0 lead over Rob. This is very important, Rob, that you get this last question right, because it's going to be tough to come back in the final round from a 2-point deficit. But you, yeah, you could tie it up here. We are going back to the Australian outback, stuck in the middle with Kucha. It's the same episode that we spoke about before. Who stood in between Kimmy and Alicia during their famous chicken fight?
I mean, they weren't in a pool, like standing on each other's shoulders.
Well, they were fighting about chickens. It was okay. it was phrasing.
Okay, I am going to say that it was Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
So Elizabeth Hasselbeck, I will give it to you, even though it was Elizabeth Olarski. But you get 2 points here, Rob. That counts. And we are all tied up going into the final round. Very, very exciting. Great way to start off the Twitch season. So
as Jeff Varner scurried away.
Yes, he famously walked away. Probably smart when let the two people that are fighting sink themselves on the tribe. So we're going to go to the deathmatch. Before last Wednesday's premiere of Survivor Edge of Extinction, 4 seasons of Survivor premiered this week in Survivor history. These seasons include Marquesas, Cagayan, Worlds Apart, and Ghost Island. In honor of Matt's Survivor 321 blog, we will play a game called Survivor 4321. I will read a statement, and you will tell me how many seasons that statement applies to out of the 4 that I just listed. The correct answer will be either 1, 2, 3, or 4. For example, if the statement is, this season premiered with exactly 18 castaways, the answer would be 2, because it only applies to Cagayan and Worlds Apart. 4 answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect on your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points in this round. If there's a tie after the 4 answers, we'll go to a tiebreaker. So you are tied, which means that Matt, we're going to start by you're going to choose a number between 1 and 4, and that'll decide the order that I ask these questions.
Okay, and then could you reset the seasons in question one more time?
Yes, sure. So you're choosing between Marquesas, Cagayan, Worlds Apart, and Ghost Island, and it's only regarding the premiere episodes.
Wow. All right.
A lot to remember, I know.
I'm aware. All I got to do to start off is pick a number, 1 through 4?
Pick a number, 1 through 4. That's the easy part. The rest of it gets a little bit more complicated.
All right. We will go with the number 3.
Okay, so the statement is the premiere episode included exactly 1 challenge.
1 challenge. All right, can I talk this out, or do I keep it to myself? All right, so I know Ghost Island had like the little challenge in the beginning with the people stepping up to prove themselves, whatever that was, and then there was an immunity challenge. Marquesas probably had reward and immunity. Cagayan, this is tough. So the question is, how many of them had both?
The premiere episode included exactly 1 challenge.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it. Exactly 1 challenge. I'll go with just 1 season. Worlds Apart, I think, is the only one that might have just had 1. Because Cagayan was 2 hours. So they must have had at least 2 immunity challenges.
So, Worlds Apart, you are correct, did have 1 challenge. Unfortunately, Marquesas only had one. And even though it was an, I think you were on the, you were thinking that it's an early season, it had reward and immunity. Yeah. A lot of the premiere episodes just had the immunity challenge. So where you get Flint if you also win immunity. So you are incorrect here. You don't get a point, which means that if Rob gets the next question right, he wins the game. And we're going in order here. The premiere episode included a tribal council with a unanimous vote.
The premiere episode included a tribal council. Can I ask, are we counting that Survivor Kagyan, which was two episodes in one night, that counts as the premiere episode?
That would count as part of the premiere.
Okay. I don't think either of those were a unanimous vote. Boy, this is a tough question. Let's see. And Ghost Island. And that the question is that the show included a unanimous vote?
Yes, there was a unanimous vote at any tribal council during the premiere episode.
Mm. Okay. I'm going to say two.
Two is actually incorrect. Ghost Island is the only one. In that episode, the Gonzalez vote was unanimous. Mm-hmm. But in the rest of these, the Peter Harkey vote, not unanimous. Sarah Jones received two votes. Worlds Apart, Joaquin did not vote for So Kim. And then the other one was Kagyan. Were both of those votes the person who didn't go home received two votes. So you were also incorrect. So we're going to continue. We are going to go now to number one here. This is for Matt. Matt, you're still alive. The eventual winner of the season went to tribal council during the premiere episode.
Okay. This I feel like I can work through. The winner went to tribal council. Vesepia was there in Marquesas. Tony was not there in Kagayan. Mike was not there in Worlds Apart. And Wendell was not. It was only one season, Marquesas.
That is correct. Marquesas is the only one. Vesepia was there. And Rob, you get to, if you answer this one right, you are tied. We go to the tiebreaker. If you are wrong, Matt wins the quiz.
Okay.
Thanks in part to the new Siri advantage. The season began with each tribe having to formally choose a leader or representative to complete a specific task.
Okay. All right. I know that this happened. I know it happened in Kagyan. I know that it happened in Worlds Apart. I think the question is, are you counting what they did at the beginning of Ghost Island as a leader having to do a specific task? So
I could reread the statement for you.
Yes, please reread the statement, because I feel like we're gonna get into this could be ticky tack territory.
The season began with each tribe having to formally choose a leader or representative to complete a specific task.
Okay, I'm gonna say that. I believe the answer is three.
Three is correct. And the ones that you said, Kagyan, Worlds Apart, Ghost Island, were the three. It was Brendan Shapiro and Chris Noble who were chosen as the representatives to choose who got to compete in the challenge. So you were tied 3-3.
Now what?
Now I get out my chalkboard.
We go to, there's a tiebreaker. There's actually two tiebreakers planned. So for this, we're starting the, Matt, you get to pick a number again, either one or two.
I think I just got a question right on question one, right? So I'll go with one.
Okay, going with the lucky number here. At least one man was voted out in the premiere.
Oh, we're going back to the same four seasons?
Same four seasons, yes.
At least one man was voted out in the premiere?
Yes.
Kagayan, yes. Marquesas, yes. Worlds Apart, no. Ghost Island, yes. Three.
Three is correct. You get a point. You have a 4-3 lead. And Rob, you get the only remaining one. One of the starting tribes introduced in the premiere wore orange buffs.
Okay. All right. One of the tribes wears orange buffs. So In Marquesas, believe that there is no orange buff. There is an orange buff in Cagayan. Worlds apart. It's blue collar, no collar. I think they had yellow, so I'll say no. And then it goes silent. I will say two.
Two is correct. It was Apari in Cagayan and Malolo in Ghost Island.
Hey, now what?
Point.
Now what?
It's 4-4. Okay, so here's how this is going to work. I have one more question for you. It's a tiebreaker. It's a double tiebreaker. I did not think we were going to get to this. But I am going to read a question. It's also going to be relating to these four seasons. And you are going to each give me a number. The answer is going to be a number. It does not have to be now between 1, 2, 3, or 4. It could be any number. And whoever gets closest is going to win the quiz. So how this is
going
to work?
Without going over?
No. So we're not going to do Price is Right. Okay. Price is Rourke rules. If you whoever is closer wins the quiz. So if the answer was 15 million, and if one of you said 15 million and two, and the other person was only one away, 14,999,999, the person who was I don't know if I did that right. You know, I can't do math, but whatever. You know what I mean. Not Price is Rourke rules. Here is the statement, and Rob, you could message me on Skype. Matt, I guess message me on Facebook or Twitter or something. Okay. So here's the statement. How many contestants between these four seasons both made it to the finale episode as an active contestant and voted for somebody who was booted in the premiere episode? I will read that again.
Yes.
How many contestants between these four seasons both made it to the finale episode as an active contestant? So that means in the game, not jury. Jury doesn't count. And voted for someone who was booted in the premiere episode.
Oh, in the premiere episode?
Yes.
Oh, this is... We have like 20 minutes while I figure this out.
Yes. This is... You might not be able to... Rob, what time limit do you want to put on this?
I don't know. It's your show.
I'm going to give you guys 30 seconds. Just think about who was in the finale on these seasons. Think about who was voted out and who these people may have voted for. So you just have to think, who did this person vote for who was in the finale? Who did they vote for in the premiere? So this is why it's a double tiebreaker. I was hoping not to get to this very complicated question.
Okay. So they had to have been in the finale, and they had to also have been in the premiere voting for the person who went home.
Voting for the person who went home. Yes, correct.
Okay.
A person who went home?
Voting for a person who went home. So if there were multiple tribal councils and they voted for somebody who went home in one of them and not in the other one, then that would count. So just send me those answers when you are ready.
Okay.
Where am I sending one?
Rob, you send it on the Skype. Matt, I guess send it on Facebook.
Yes. All right, I've sent my answer.
Okay. Okay, and Rob, I'm waiting on you. We are live. We're in the live show. Actually, we're not in the live show. I see a squiggle. Okay, so the answers are in. We have Matt Liguori, who said four. Rob Cesternino, who had five. The correct answers, the correct people, were Spencer, Cass, Carolyn, Donathan, and Laurel. That is five. So, Rob, by 1 point, you win the quiz.
A squeaker. Should I ask Siri?
I guess so.
Yeah, really tough question here, but I had to have for the double tiebreaker, one that most likely, if you were both guessing, that you probably would not guess correctly.
Well, I almost said six. I almost said six. I don't know what you would have done there.
I was really hoping that I didn't care who won. I just didn't want it to be a tie-in. I don't know what.
Well, you got to figure. You got to have a preference of, and then if it's both exactly one away, then whoever is lower will win.
So next week that'll be the rule. Next week we should have said that. But yeah, Rob, congratulations.
I had Vesepia,
Matt, nice,
and they're like, oh, wait, she voted for somebody who didn't go home.
Right, I had that right. I had Cagayan. I forgot that there was two tribal councils, and yes. I know that Cass voted wrong the first time, but I guess she voted right the second time.
Yeah, yes, Cass and Spencer both got one right and one wrong.
Yes, yeah, so that was a good question, Rob, asking if they only voted for one of them. And then Donathan voted for Gonzalez. He wasn't even at the second tribal council because he was on Ghost Island.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Deese, we put you through the paces this week with a double overtime, like one of these Islander games, right, Matt?
We've been doing a lot of winning, so I did not win today, but at least they are.
Okay. Matt, tell people how to find your blog and everything you're doing.
Yes, over on robiswebsite.com, just scroll all the way down to the bottom. You'll see the blog section, and just check that out. You'll see each week I've got a new 3-2-1 up. So this the one for this week should be up either by the time you're listening to this or very soon. And then just, you know, keep following all season long. And then Big Brother Canada's around the corner. So if you're a Big Brother fan, we've got those live feed updates that will be rolling pretty soon. So that's what I got.
Okay.
And Matt, who was the first survivor you followed on Twitter?
See, I knew you asked this question. I wasn't sure if you still did. And I meant to think about it, but and then we got this far in the podcast. I was like, no, he doesn't ask it anymore. This is good. All right. I felt good that it's probably a Rob. I just don't know which Rob, because I know that I've been a follower
ride or
of
die.
Rob Tepternino on Twitter for a while now.
So you're between the general and Zabaknik, right?
Correct. Yes. Between Boston Rob or Rob Cesternino, it probably, sorry, Rob, was Boston Rob.
Right? Matt, you are correct. You are correct. So didn't win the quiz, but at least you got the bonus question correct. Unfortunately, it does not count.
Sorry, Reem.
You know, the first person you followed on Twitter, also a TV personality, Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, I know who that is. Yeah. People question me about that all the time.
You follow Seacrest before you follow me, Matt.
Yes.
I don't see Brian Dunkelman anywhere
Liguori
on
out.
This list.
But you stayed with Seacrest.
Stayed with Seacrest. I stayed with Mariano. I stayed with Cesternino. I'm loyal.
Loyalty. All right. Jordan, great job. Did you have fun today, Jordan?
I did. This was a lot of fun. I mean, I feel like I've run a marathon, because usually I'm only on here like, you know, between 20 and 30 minutes, but this was long, but it was great. I liked this a lot.
Yeah. We're still working out the kinks of what we want to do here in this space, but I feel like that we have an opportunity to, you know, even more silly than I get to be on the feedback show, because sometimes, you know, I'm talking to a survivor and they have, you know, have like no idea what normally goes on these podcasts. And so I get a little intimidated to bring out my dumbest stuff on the podcast with them. So I feel like that this is going to be a good spot where we can really have fun with all of this. And I could even play some of the feedback questions that are too stupid to make it even into the Survivor feedback show, such as this one from Austin.
Hey, what's up? This is Austin from New Jersey. I saw in your last Know-It-Alls episode that Steven said that Lauren Rimmer didn't really remind him of like a mother, even though she fits the age category. I was thinking why that could be. Maybe because she reminds him more of daughter. Just my thoughts. Thank you.
You sounded like a young Rudy.
Or how about this question from Derek?
What's going on, Robin, Arissa? Derek here from California. Just had a quick question about Edge of Extinction that I haven't heard anyone else talking about yet. And that is, what if someone gets voted off and then gives away their jacket and they go to Edge of Extinction and they're like, oh, shoot, I'm still in the game. I need that jacket back. Rob? Rob? Hey, Rob, you going to answer my voicemail? Rob? Rob? Rob?
Could you imagine I'm playing that for Arissa, Matt?
I think she would have loved the question, but I can tell you with some certainty that Reem would not have given her jacket to any of these people left in the game that voted her out.
Hey. Are you?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
It's fine. You know what, dude? It's fine.
Love Reem. Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much for taking a chance on this new podcast. And look, we appreciate feedback and constructive criticism on stuff that we can be doing better here in this time slot every single week. And we may end up recording maybe a little bit earlier in the Survivor week as well. Of course, you can find me on Twitter as well. I'm at Rob Cesternino. Love to hear from you all. And of course, We hear from our Rob Has a Podcast patrons in our Facebook group all of the time. If you want to become a part of our Rob Has a Podcast patron community and see everything that we're doing on Patreon, you can go ahead and check out robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye. And a special thanks to our friends over at True Car for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a date for the first time, your luxury package that you got after a big promotion, or the mileage that you save by riding your bike all summer long. While you can't put a price tag on those stories, now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it's going to ding your wallet, so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a True Cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True Cash offer not available in all areas.